Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmadu wa nusalli ala Rasulil Karim. Amma ba'd. Next chapter is called Istihza and Istikhfaf. Istihza means to jest or mock any teaching, belief, concept or advice of Islam. Istikhfaf or Istihana means to regard lightly or insignificant any affair, teaching, belief of the Sharia. In the famous book of belief, Sharul Aqai, the following is mentioned. Istihana, to regard something as light, is kufr, and istihza, to mock any part of the Sharia, is kufr, because these are signs of rejection of Islam. It is similarly kufr if a person laughs with pleasure at a statement of kufr made by another person. Every teaching, belief and attitude of Islam is linked with Allah Ta'ala. Hence the beliefs, practices, teachings, places and personalities of Islam are all objects of honor and respect. The slightest amount of disrespect is not accepted. Some people mock and jest with the beard, the miswak, the sunnah method of eating and dressing. Some will find fault in taqdeer. Some will brand Islamic ways as outdated and incompatible with the times. Some make a mockery of the ahadith and the authoritative tafsir, explanation of the Quran. By doing so, one destroys his iman. Allah protect and save us. The next chapter is on shirk. The literal meaning of shirk is to ascribe partners. In terms of the Sharia, to associate another as a partner with Allah Ta'ala in his qualities, his will, his obedience, his being, and to hold anyone equal to Allah Ta'ala is termed as shirk. Some types of shirk. One is shirk in the being of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. To hold somebody equal to the being of Allah Ta'ala, for example, the Christians' belief of Trinity, the idol worship of the Hindus and Buddhists, the worship of ancestors. Number two, shirk in the qualities of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. To state that the special servants of Allah Ta'ala, example a Nabi or Wali, shares with Allah Ta'ala in his exclusive attributes. This can be of many types. Number one, shirk in knowledge. That means Allah Ta'ala only has got all complete knowledge. All knowing is only a quality of Allah Ta'ala. So to ascribe this attribute to any human being, for example, by saying, our Shaykh has knowledge of all our deeds and actions, or the Anbiya alayhim as-salam and the martyrs possess the complete knowledge of the unseen, is shirk. The knowledge of many of unseen things and events, example the angels, Jannah, Jahannam, has been conveyed or granted to the Anbiya alayhim as-salam by Allah Ta'ala. And it's called Amba'ul Ghaib, information of the knowledge, some small portion of it has been granted. But all encompassing knowledge and complete knowledge is not the quality of any human being, but it is only the quality of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Number two, shirk in power. To believe that a created being, example a Nabi, a Shaykh, etc., has the power of giving life and death, or he can cause good or bad to happen. To believe a certain Shaykh has the power to fulfill one's needs, or has the power of sustenance, etc., is all part of shirk. Number three, shirk in hearing and seeing. To believe that just as Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is all hearing and all seeing, similarly, our Nabi or our Shaykh can hear and see all our actions, no matter how far or near they are. So this is completely incorrect. And number four, shirk in worship. Allah Ta'ala is the only being worthy of worship. Performing those actions for anyone else which Allah Ta'ala has commanded His servants to do in His honor is shirk. Example, salah, fasting, qurbani, bowing and prostrating before living saints or their graves, making tawaf of graves, backtrotting away from the graves in show of excessive honor and veneration for the grave, to call out to anyone besides Allah Ta'ala and to believe that the one called out from far has the power to harm or benefit, to take an oath in the name of anyone besides Allah Ta'ala, to photograph somebody and show respect to the photograph. These and many similar acts are all acts of shirk. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala protect us from kufr and shirk, because these are two sins which should not be forgiven by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in the year after. Last night in the Tarawih Salah, the 25th Juz Ilayhi Uraddu was recited. In the beginning, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions about Qiyamah, the ending of the last para. Whoever does good actions, he is causing benefit for himself, and a person who does evil, he is causing harm to himself. And remember, on the day of Qiyamah, all knowledge goes back to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah knows every single action, what a person is doing in this world. So we have to stand up before Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And whatever a person used to worship besides Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and he thought will help and assist him, on the day of Qiyamah, they will all become ghaib, they will all go away from a person. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions certain people in this world, the condition is such, they are always making, they never get tired of making dua of goodness. But when some difficulty comes to them, then they eventually lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they turn to many other deities and gods besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking their help. Whereby they say, will not get any help at all. And then when Allah ta'ala showers in mercy upon that person, then that person now, he forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, I am worthy of this year. I don't think Qiyamah will take place. This is my, because of my hard work, because of my intelligence, I have been granted all of these things. So this is a very evil quality. And Allah ta'ala bestows a person with favors, he's supposed to make shukr and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when difficult times come, the person has to turn his attention more to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah ta'ala is the only one who can remove conditions and difficulties from a person's life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. Soon we will show them our signs in the atmosphere and in their own lives also, until it will become clear to them that the Quran Sharif is a reality. What a miracle Allah ta'ala has given us, 1400 years. Till now one sabr is there, one letter cannot be proven wrong. And what, no matter man how much he progresses in life and what technological advancements come, but then never the Quran Sharif each time will show them that they were wrong in their previous beliefs which they had. And man will continue learning more and more things, but he will never understand where the knowledge of man stops. All his intelligence, the wahi and revelation only starts thereafter. So this is a very great position, a lofty position of wahi and revelation. So ulama mentioned that there are three means which Allah Ta'ala has given human beings for attaining knowledge. One is a person's eyes, his ears. So by means of this, a person gets knowledge, but that knowledge is very limited. Person can see to a certain distance only. Sometimes he makes mistakes with his eyes, he makes mistakes with his ears. So this is one level and means of attaining knowledge. The second means of attaining knowledge is through the aqal, through the brain. The person now, where his eyes cannot see, where his ears cannot hear, but he can think and ponder. And by means of that, a person starts understanding many, many things. And the Western people or the secular people, they only believe in these two forms of instruments of acquiring knowledge. But as Muslims, we believe there is one third level, where aqal and brain stop. After that, wahi and revelation starts. And this is the most superior form of knowledge. Aqal also many times makes a mistake. It is why in the world everyone has got different opinions. Everyone's mind takes into different understandings. But wahi and revelation, the what's absolute from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no doubt in that. So this is the most superior form of knowledge and the means of acquiring knowledge through wahi and revelation. So Allah ta'ala says, and throughout history as you carry on, and people see the clear signs in the world, they will understand that the Quran Sharif is definitely a kitab of truth. The next surah is Surah Shura. In the surah also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned yesterday, all the hamims, in the Allah ta'ala is giving da'wah to the Quran Sharif, calling the people towards accepting the teachings of the Quran Sharif. In this surah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the Quran Sharif is nothing new, but the same Quran Sharif has been revealed, the teachings of the Quran has been revealed to the past Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam as well. And they were the main core point, أَنَّقِيمُ الدِّينَ وَلَا تَتَفَرَّقُوا فِيهِ. That Allah Ta'ala says the same deen which we sent to Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, that whole form of tawheed, the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, believe in the life of the akhirat, the year after, and the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. All the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam came with the same message, and the shariats were different. Maybe the smaller masail, how must a person perform salah, how must he fast, these were different, but the core beliefs and basic beliefs were found in all the teachings of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, unfortunately, there are certain people who have made this world the object of life. Allah says, man kana yuridu harth al-akhirah. The person whose object of life is the harvesting of the year after. Najid lahu fi harthi, Allah will increase him. In this world also, Allah will look after him. In the year after, Allah will give him great, great abundance. But man kana yuridu harth al-dunya. A person whose object in his life is only the farming of this world and to attain the crops of this world, we will give him only a portion of it. وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ نَصِيبٍ. In the year after, there will be nothing for that person. All the effort which he made, he will get a small portion of it, but he will be completely destroyed in the year after. So it's a full height of foolishness for a person to run after the things of this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ. If a person has done wrong, he has made the world the object of his life. Allah is the one who will accept tawbah from his servants. Allah overlooks their faults, and Allah knows every single thing what a person is doing. Those who have got iman and do good actions, Allah will accept their du'as, accept their ibadat, and Allah will increase them through His grace and fadl and kindness. Allah will give them much, much more. And for the kuffar and disbelievers, and there will be a very, very severe punishment in the year after. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter mentions that what is the sign of Iman? What qualities must a person of Iman have? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that kuffar and disbelievers, they fight in the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever you have been granted in this world, فَمَتَعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, it's some benefit of this worldly life. For a short while, the person takes some benefit. Mata, as it mentions, is like a crop lap. It's just something which a person utilizes. It's a necessity in the kitchen, but no one has honor for it, no one has respect for it. It's something which a person has to use. So all of these things what a person has got, it's a thing to utilize for a short while, and then eventually it will be destroyed. وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى, whatever is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's far, far better, and will remain forever and forever. And for who is this? Those people who have got qualities. What qualities? Those who have got Iman, number one. Number two, وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ, they place their trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, وَالَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ الْكَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَحِشِ, they stay away from all big sins, major sins, and especially amongst the major sins, وَالْفَوَحِشِ, all forms of immorality. And immorality in today's time, fornication, and adultery, and masturbation, and pornography, and lesbianism, and homosexuality, and all of these kinds of immoral actions, these are completely contrary to the quality of Iman. A person has to stay away from these actions. Allah has created the desires within a person for an object, for one is for a person to fulfill his jayaz, his permissible needs, and the necessities in this world, so that a person, the procreation can continue of humankind, but not to utilize his desires every single way as he wants to, and cause so much of evil in the world. So a person of Iman will save himself. And that's why it comes in the hadith, when a person commits zina, then actually Iman comes out of the body, hovers above the head of that person. And when a person is sinning the evil action, then the Iman comes back to a person, but in a very weakened form. So Allah Ta'ala protect us from this. It's completely contrary to Iman. And in today's time, even worse, where a person is becoming a homosexual, and then he's justifying himself, or he's regarding it as nothing wrong. One is a person feels bad and he knows he's doing wrong, his Iman will still remain. But when a person justifies his zina, he justifies his homosexuality, then he leaves the fold of Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, another quality of the people of Iman, وَإِذَا مَا غَضِبُهُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ, when they become angry, then they forgive. So it doesn't mean a person will not become angry. In another place in the Quran, Allah says, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْرِ, the muttaqin, the pious people, are those people who control their anger. Allah ta'ala doesn't say, وَالْعَادِمِينَ الْغَيْرِ, they've got no anger at all. So human being will definitely have anger within himself, but he has to learn how to control his anger. One hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a person who controls his anger, مَلَأَ اللَّهُ قَلْبَهُ أَمْنًا وَإِيمَانًا, Allah will fill up his heart with aman, with safety, with comfort, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase his iman. So that the opportunities of anger will come there, but if a person wants his iman to increase at that time to control himself, another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a person who controls his anger, and he's got the ability to vent his anger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call him on the day of Qiyamah in front of the whole of mankind, and he will be allowed to choose one of the Hur al-Eem, the beautiful woman of Jannah, whichever one he wants to, he can take them. And, and this is the great bounty, what honor Allah will give him just for controlling his anger. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is the quality of a person of Iman. He forgives when he becomes angry. And وَاسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ, as soon as the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, he's prepared to accept it. He's very particular about Salah. وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ, and in the matters, he does not use his own right and opinion, but he makes mashwara always with other people. And this was a beautiful teaching of our Islam, so much so that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, despite being a Nabi and getting wahi and revelation, he also would make mashwara amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to teach us a lesson that there's so much of benefit and greatness and goodness in mashwara. Finally, the Amir will make the final decision. But when mashwara is made, then different rights come forward, different opinions come forward, the person's mind opens up, and a lot of benefit comes. And it's also a sign of humility within a person that I'm making mashwara with other people. I'm not a self-opinionated person. I use my own right, my own opinion. And Allah says, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, and those people who spend from what Allah has granted them, they spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the quality of Iman. And when someone oppresses them, then at the time when they feel it's necessary now, if I don't take revenge on this person, then he will cause harm to other people. Then at such a time they will take they take revenge and they punish that person. And if a person feels it's better to forgive that person, for man afa wa asla, a person who forgives him and he corrects the matters, for ajruhu ala Allah, his reward is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if someone does wrong to you, then don't oppress that person now. Because when you oppress that person, then you'll become the oppressor. If you take revenge from someone, exactly what harm he has caused to you, give the same amount of harm to that person. He gave you one punch, now you can't give him three punches back. Otherwise you'll become the oppressor now and he'll become the oppressed person. So a person has to be very careful also when a person is taking revenge. And Allah Ta'ala says a person who's got the quality of sabr and forgiveness, this is a matter of great himmat and courage, very beloved in the sight of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala owns the heavens and the earth, and Allah grants, He creates whatsoever He wants to. For certain people Allah grants daughters, and for certain people Allah Ta'ala creates sons, and some people Allah grants them sons and daughters. وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشْتَاهُ أَقِيمًا. And some people Allah Ta'ala makes them barren, they do not have any children. إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ قَدِيرٌ. Allah has got full knowledge of everything, and Allah is all powerful. Allah knows exactly why He's given certain people boys, why certain people girls, why some both, and why some He has made them barren. And Allah has got full qudrat to give if He wants to. But there are certain reasons and wisdoms why Allah has got it. So we should be very careful. Sometimes a person asks another person, how many children have you got? You got no children already. It's like it's his fault. And especially more amongst the women folk, when a woman doesn't have a child, she feels very embarrassed. And people keep asking her, it really brings the person down. Person becomes hurt, they feel it's not within their control. This is only in the hands of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So you tell a person, you only got one child, you got no children, you made it so many years already. Well, what's happening? So we might take it as a joke, but there are people who don't have children, they really feel it really affects the person mentally also. So a person, we should encourage a woman folk also, we should be very careful in this matter here. And all lies in the hands of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah grants whomsoever He wants to. Hazrat Mullah Mashullah Rahmatullah Ali used to say, he say in today's zamana to have children is a ni'mat and bounty of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And not to have children is a rahmat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So both ways, if a person looks at it, it's benefit for a person. Then the next surah is Surah Zukhruf. Here also Allah Ta'ala gives dawah to the Quran Sharif. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions that must we turn away from advising you people just because you people are musrifi and exceeded the bounds, you are not prepared to accept. This is the great mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. If an elder is telling a junior something, he tells him one time, he doesn't listen. Elder will say, what's wrong with this youngster? He's not listening. But Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is our Malik, our Creator and Sustainer. And Allah says, must I turn the Quran Sharif and my nasihat away from you people just because you are not accepting the Quran? I'm going to continue giving the message. Continue in different ways. 848 pages Allah Ta'ala sent down. Oh, people accept the message. What in what ways Allah is trying to explain to a person? As Tanu Rahmatullah says, that this is the great mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That if you're looking at this verse of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then must I turn away from advising you people just because you people are exceeding the bounds? No, I'm going to continue sending the message down. So Subhanallah, what is the mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? And then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions His great qudrat and power, how Allah created the heavens and the earth, and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala sends down the waters, how Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala created prayers amongst human beings and animals and everything. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has made the ships and the animals which a person is able to transport himself upon. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, when you sit on that animal, on that conveyance, remember the ni'mat and bounty of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and make this dua, Subhanalladhi sakhkhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin. That Allah is pure, who has kept this and given us control of this. We had no power over it. Wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. But when you are on your journey, small journey of this world, think about the long journey of the akhirah. Don't forget the long journey. It is on a journey. Normally a person on a safar, no one is around him. Many times he falls into evil. So Allah said, no, don't forget about your long journey, the original journey towards the akhirah. So remind oneself. And ثُمَّ تَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ رَبِّكُمْ. Remember the bounty of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala upon you when you are on your vehicle. Mufassirin mentioned an amazing point here. They say this, two great bounties of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. One is that Allah has granted you a conveyance, and Allah hasn't granted another person a conveyance. What a ni'mat and bounty. He has to walk, but you have been granted this bounty. And the other is, they say that what a ni'mat, that from all Allah's creation, Allah has not given any other creation of His ability to mount another animal and move it as they want to. For example, a fly, if he wants to move from one place to another, he cannot sit on an elephant and command him to take him to a certain place. Yes, the elephant will, if the elephant is moving somewhere, the fly will move with the elephant, but he cannot control the elephant. So no other animal and creature, they use another creature for transportation. It is only Hazrat Insan, human beings, Ashraful Makhlukat, Allah has given us the ability that we'll sit in a car, we'll sit on a horse, and a person will travel from one place to another place. So they say, when you are sitting on the animal, remember the bounty of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The sunnah dua is, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, to thank Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But really Allah says, Tadhkuru, think about it, ponder about it when you are sitting, and really make shukr and thank Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala from the bottom of your heart. Thereafter Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions that amongst the people of jahiliyyah and ignorance, one evil quality they have got is of, when they have got daughters, then they become very upset and their faces become black actually, and they become upset, they are burning inside when they hear they are getting a daughter, whereas this is a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this surah is called Surah Al-Zukhruf, which means gold, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this world has got no value in the sight of Allah ta'ala. If this world was equal to the value of a wing of a mosquito, Allah would not have given the kuffar a drop of water to drink. So here Allah says that if it wasn't for the fear, that all of the people and mankind would have become one nation, all become kafirs. For the kuffar and disbelievers, we would have made in their houses roofs of silver and gold, the staircases of gold and silver, and the doors and the curtains which, upon which they are, the sofas and the couches upon which they are reclining, all of it Allah would have made it of gold and silver. Allah would have given them so much in this world, because this world has got no value. In kullu dhalika lamma mata'u al-hayati dunya. These are things of this worldly life which you will use for a short while. Wal akhiratu 'inda rabbika lil-muttaqin. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the akhirat is for the pious people, the muttaqin. That is the actual place where they have to work for and make an effort in their life. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of our weakness, Allah has given men, given the Muslims also. Otherwise this world has got no value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person turns away from remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his friend becomes shaitan, and he's preventing the man from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes the man thinks also he's on the right path, but he's actually on the wrong path, and shaitan is deceiving that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about Fir'aun, a great tyrant, and he thought he had the control of Misr, and all the rivers of Misr under his control, but the same rivers of Misr completely destroyed him. But he felt he had power over, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the same thing to destroy him. Coming, the next surah is Surah Dukhan. In the surah, also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives da'wah to the Quran Sharif, and Allah mentions the greatness of the Quran Sharif. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakatin. We have sent the Quran Sharif down on a very, very mubarak and blessed night, the night of Qadr, according to most mufassirin. And in this night, a taqdeer is being written down, according to all different ulama, different meanings, but some say the tafsil, and the great details are mentioned in the 15 of Shaban, Ijmali, very short form. But on the night of Qadr, in great detail, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it. Many people say Laylatul Qadr, the night of power. But this seems that to be an incorrect translation, because it does not come from the word Qudrat, power. But Laylatul Qadr, the night of value. Because Qadr has got great value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's better than 1,000 months. So it's the night of value, or it's the night in which man becomes valuable. They're engaging in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people say the word Qadr means Taqdeer. It's the night of predestination, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes, and all the matters are decided. That is why it's called Qadr. And some say Qadr comes from the word Dayyik, to be tight. Because there's so many thousands and millions of angels coming down on the earth. There's actually no place on the earth. They are coming down to witness the worship of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on this Mubarak and blessed night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Quran Sharif down. And what a great kitab it is. Those people who followed the Quran were successful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the disgrace and embarrassment in this world also, and in the year after, for those people who will not hold firm unto the teachings of the Quran Sharif. Look at Fir'aun, he had what powers, what Allah ta'ala granted to him, what bounties of this world. He never accepted the teachings of the wahi and revelation. He was destroyed. And on the day of Qiyamah also, what destruction there will be for a person to eat from the tree of Zakum. And it will be boiling in the stomach, like how boiling water, boiling hot oil will be taken and placed in the stomach, like boiling hot water, and they will be dragged to the fire of Jahannam, and on top of their heads, severe punishment will be thrown upon them, and they will be mocked and told, chased all of this year. In the world you thought you were a very honorable person. On the other hand, a person of taqwa and piety, Allah, what honor Allah will give him, place of great safety, in the gardens and in the beautiful rivers. He will be wearing all different types of clothing, facing one another, and Allah will get them married to the most beautiful woman in the year after. Whatever kind of fruit they want, they will be able to call for it, and living a life of great comfort. There will be no fear of death ever coming to them, because they finished their death already, and Allah Ta'ala will protect them from the azab and the punishment of Jahannam. And this is only the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zalika huwa al-fawzul azim. This is the great success for a person, the success of the akhirat. The last surah is Surah Jathiyah. Here also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives da'wah to the Quran Sharif. And if a person studies this surah, one point he will find here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually is giving an answer to the atheists of today's time. Every ayat of this surah, it actually refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first starts in mentioning the signs of his qudrat, 8 different signs. If a person ponders about these things, he will see the great qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will understand the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that man, because of pride, he is not prepared to accept wahi and revelation which comes to him. But in actual fact, he is destroying himself. Allah mentions the nations of the past. They did not follow the Shariat, Nonetheless, they were eventually destroyed, and mainly because of jealousy amongst themselves in their hearts. They were not prepared to accept it. Nonetheless, we have given you a Sharia, follow it, and do not follow the desires of those people who have got no knowledge at all, because they will not benefit you in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the least. But and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the heavens and the earth, all with a certain object of life, and every person will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah and paid. Have you seen the person who has taken his desires as his God? And this is what this whole atheism is. It's my desire, I fulfill every desire of mine. And despite having knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that person misguided. Allah has placed a seal on his ears and his heart, and he's made a parda in front of his veil in front of his eyes. Who will give him guidance after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can't he understand? Can't you take nasihat and advice? They say, there's nothing for us in this worldly life, but it's only the worldly life. We're going to live and die in this world. And the only thing which will kill us is dahr, time. We are dahriya, we live through time. Allah says they have got no knowledge at all. You can study whatever proofs they have got, it's all nonsensical. In whom illa yazunnun, just conjecturing in their mind, they are making up things. And when Allah Ta'ala's clear ayat recited to them, clear proofs, they got nothing to answer, but now they bring stupid arguments and foolish arguments in front. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives life, Allah gives death, and Allah will gather you on the day of Qiyamah. And on the day of Qiyamah, you did not follow. Great disgrace will be for such a person. He'll be jasiya on his knees, bent down, with complete embarrassment and disgrace. Every person will be called to his kitab, his book of deeds, and exactly what was written in the book of deeds, what is written there, accordingly a person will be recompensed in the year after. Those who had iman and good actions, Allah will enter them into his rahmat and mercy, and this is success. The disbelievers, unfortunately, they will be in great destruction because of the pride and arrogance which they had within themselves. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this worldly life deceived you people, and the ayat of Allah ta'ala, you took it as a play and a joke. Now you'll never be taken out of the fire of Jahannam. You won't be asked to ask for Allah ta'ala for forgiveness. All praises are only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who owns the heavens and the earth and the entire universe, and Allah is the Rabb and Sustainer, and all greatness lies only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the most powerful and the most wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this reality and protect our iman. Let us live with iman, die with iman, be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah with iman.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Muhammadu wa salli ala Rasulullah al-Kareem, amma ba'd. Qala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, La ilaha illallah, la yasbiquha amalun, wa la tatruku zambad. Allahu ibn Majah. Hazrat Umm Hani radiyallahu ta'ala anha farmati hai, کہ نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا کہ لا الہ الا اللہ سے نہ تو کوئی عمل بڑھ سکتا ہے اور نہ یہ کلمہ کسی گناہ کو چھوڑ دے سکتا ہے. نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم has said, no deed can excel the recitation of لا الہ الا اللہ and this kalima lets no sin remain unforgiven. Once again, نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم has said, no deed can excel the recitation of لا الہ الا اللہ and this kalima lets no sin remain unforgiven.